A Canticle for Leibowitz.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Part 11 of a series in 15 parts, adapted from a novel by Walter Miller Jr. A Canticle for Leibowitz. Here continues the chronicle. Set down daily by the brethren of Isaac Edward Leibowitz, in their abbey in the desert of the Southwest. Quote, now come we to the last year of the abbacy of Paulo de Pecos. It was in this year that soldiers made drawings of our abbey's fortifications, whereby Abbot Paulo was anxious in his heart. He knew how quickly King Hannigan would usurp the monks and take the abbey unto himself as a fortress, for the king was ever avid of empire. Now these soldiers were come here as escorts, attending the king's cousin from the palace at Texarkana, and this cousin, Don Tadeo, was a great scholar, come hither for study. For in our library, unread by the world and uncomprehended for the most part by us, there reposed the memorabilia. These were the written words, such as had escaped burning, which yet remained from the days before the flame deluge, when almost all knowledge ceased, as did almost all of life. And that was 1,200 years ago. Only now, in Don Tadeo, was there at last a scholar sufficient in skill and cunning to draw out from these writings their hidden lore and give it back to the world. Unquote.
During the 10th week of Taddeo's visit, a messenger from New Rome, King Garaldi, head of the dynasty of Laredo, demanded Texarkana troops evacuate his realm forthwith. Don Tadeo and Abbot Paulo listened to the messenger with astonishment. Then Paulo sadly shook his head.
Whatever possessed the old fool? Surely he must have realized what the consequences would be.
Well, if he didn't, my lord abbot, he very soon found out. He died of poison that night.
Oh, dear God.
And a state of war was proclaimed between Laredo and Texarkana.
Presumably a fairly short-lived war.
Yes, Don Tadeo. I think you can assume the war ended the day after it began. And that Hannigan now controls all lands and peoples from the Red River to the Rio Grande. There's more. Hannigan II, by grace of God Mayor, Viceroy of Texarkana, Defender of the Faith, and Vaquero Supreme of the Plains, after finding Monsignor Marcus Apollo guilty of treason...
Dear God!
...has caused him to be hanged.
Oh,
what?
And then, while still alive, cut down, drawn, quartered, and flayed. I need hardly add, Texarkana is under interdict by papal decree.
Mm. Any news of Hannigan's countermeasures?
No, not yet.
What a tragic affair. Abbot Paulo, I think I ought to offer to leave at once.
Why, Tadeo? You don't approve of Hannigan's actions, do you?
No, between ourselves I condemn them. But in public, there is the collegium to think of. If it were only a question of my own neck, well...
I understand.
Rumors kept coming from the plains. The cattle plague was sweeping like wildfire among the herds of the nomads. Famine seemed imminent. What remained of Laredo's scattered forces were being wiped out by hit-and-run assaults of Mad Bear, who was thirsty for vengeance against those who brought the plague. The gulf between Paulo and Tadeo kept widening. Tadeo hastened to finish his work.
Well, Abbot Paulo, my work is nearly finished here. We'll be leaving in a very few days.
Aren't you worried about the fighting on the plains, Tadeo?
We're to camp at a butte about a week's ride east from here, and a group of, our escort will meet us there.
I do hope your escort group hasn't reversed its political allegiance since you made the arrangements. It's getting hard to tell friend from foe these days.
Especially if they come from Texarkana, you mean?
I didn't say that.
Let's be frank with each other, Father. I can't fight Hannigan. He makes my work possible, no matter what I think of his policies or his politics. I appear to support him superficially, or at least overlook him, for the sake of the Collegium. Now, if he extends his lands, the Collegium may profit. If the Collegium prospers, mankind will profit from our work.
The ones who survive, perhaps.
True. But that's always true.
No. No, 12 centuries ago, not even the survivors profited. Must we start down that road again?
What can I do about it? Hannigan is prince, not I.
But you promised to begin restoring man's control over nature. Who will use that control? To what end? How will you hold him in check? Such decisions can still be made, but if you and your group don't make them now, others will soon make them for you. Mankind will profit, you say, but by whose sufferance? The sufferance of a prince who signs his letters X? Or do you really believe that your collegium can stay aloof from his ambitions when he finds out you're valuable to him?
What you really suggest is that we wait a little while. That we dissolve the collegium or move it to the desert, and then somehow, with no gold, no silver of our own, revive science in some slow, hard way and tell nobody that we save it all up for the day when man is good and pure and holy and wise.
Now, that is not what I meant.
Oh, that is not what you meant to say, but that is what your saying means. Keep science cloistered. Don't try to apply it. Don't try to do anything about it until men are holy. Well, it won't work. You've been trying it here in this abbey for generations.
We haven't withheld anything.
Oh, no, you haven't withheld it, but you sat on it so quietly nobody knew it was here. You did nothing with it.
But haven't you heard about Isaac Edward Leibowitz? Do you see his statue over there in the corner? Haven't you heard about a scientist like yourself who founded this order? He founded it in order to save what could be saved of the records of that civilization. Saved from what, though? And for what? Look. Look at the statue. Look at it. See where it's standing. See the kindling? Books. Books for kindling. Yes. They didn't just burn intellectuals in the Great Simplification. They burnt books and everything else that stood for any kind of knowledge. That's how little the world wanted your science then, and for centuries afterward. So he died for our sake. When they drenched Leibowitz and the books with fuel oil, legend says, he asked for a cup of it. They thought he mistook it for water, so they laughed and gave him a cup. He blessed it and said, "This is the chalice of my blood," and he drank it before they hanged him and set him on fire. Shall I read you a list of all the martyrs? Shall I name all the battles we fought to keep these records intact?
Father.
All the monks blinded in the copy room for your sake. Yet you say we did nothing with it, withheld it by silence.
Not intentionally, but in effect you did. And for the very motives you imply should be mine. If you try to save wisdom until the world is wise, Father, the world will never have it.
I can see the misunderstanding is basic. To serve God first, or to serve Hannigan first, that's your choice.
I have little choice, then. Would you have me work for the church?
Thursday, within the octave of All Saints. Taddeo and his clerk, preparing to leave, sorted their notes and records in the library. Overhead, the arc lamp still sputtered and glared. The team of novices pumped wearily at the hand-powered dynamo as the novice atop the ladder kept the light adjusted. And Don Taddeo had a proposition for Brother Kornhoer.
You and I, Brother Kornhoer, we'd make a good team. I wish you'd join me, at least for a while. Do you think your abbot would grant you leave?
Oh, I would not presume to guess.
Now, I've heard mention of brothers on leave.
Brothers working on leave have kept the rest of us from starving at times, but it's seldom done. Of course, we have a few brothers studying in New Rome now.
But... Ah, now that's it. A scholarship at the Collegium.
Yes?
There'd be a stipend. I'm sure your abbot could put that to good use.
Well, I don't know.
Father, you don't seem pleased.
I'm flattered, of course. But such matters are not for me to decide.
Well, I understand that, but I wouldn't dream of asking your abbot if the idea displeased you.
My vocation is to religion. However, if Abbot Paolo were to send me...
I see you would reluctantly come. Look, I'm sure I could get the Collegium to send your abbot at least 100 gold pieces a year while you were with us.
Oh.
Pardon me, did I say something wrong?
Meanwhile, in his study, Paolo fought the pain in his gut. And a knock at the door brought the prior with more bad news.
I'm so Sorry to disturb you, Reverend Father, but it's a matter of some urgency. I've just come from the infirmary.
Yes?
It's Brother Claret, Monsignor Apollo's clerk.
Claret? You mean he escaped? They didn't kill him with Marcus?
Well, they may have meant to, and God knows how he made it all the way here. He's in pretty bad shape.
Will he live?
Touch and go. Brother Pharmacist isn't too hopeful. As far as I can gather, they tortured him to get evidence against Marcus. From one or two things he let drop, I'd say he blames himself for what happened. Anyway, I thought you ought to see this. It's a document he had in his pocket, a copy of a proclamation by Hannigan.
All right, let's hear it.
The point of it is, in this sentence, we, the only legitimate ruler over the church in this realm, hereby declare to our loyal people that Pope Benedict the 22nd is a heretic, murderer, sodomite, and atheist. Who serves him serves not us.
Dear God.
The rest, it's mostly gobbledygook. Except just at the end, there's another big take heed, and then he orders the licensing of the clergy, makes the administration of the sacraments by unlicensed persons a crime, and makes an oath of supreme allegiance to him a condition for licensing. That's it. Signed with his mark.
In the library, Taddeo, eyes afire with exuberance, pulls Brother Cornhoer aside.
Brother Cornhoer?
Yes?
I have located a source here that should, I think, be of interest to Don Mayo. Now, of course, I know his
story.
Don
Mayo? Is he the one who's trying to correct Genesis?
Yes. That is...
Well, that's all right. Some of us feel Genesis is more or less allegorical. Well, what have you found?
Now, we located one fragment from before the flame deluge that suggests a very revolutionary concept. Now, if I interpret the fragment correctly, man was not created until shortly before the flame deluge.
What? Then where did civilization come from?
Well, not from humanity. It was developed by a preceding race, which became extinct during the flame deluge.
But Holy Scripture goes back thousands of years before the diluvium. You're proposing that we're not the descendants of Adam? Not related to historical humanity?
But wait, I only offer conjecture that the pre-flame deluge race, which called itself man, succeeded in creating life. Now, shortly before the fall of their civilization, they successfully created the ancestors of present humanity, after their own image, as it were, as a servant species.
But even if you totally reject revelation, it's a completely unnecessary complication under plain common sense.
Well, it might seem so, until you consider how many things it would account for. Well, you know the legends of the simplification. They all become more meaningful, it seems to me, if one looks at the simplification as a rebellion by a created servant species against the original creator species, as the fragmentary references suggest. Now, it would also explain why present-day humanity seems so inferior to the ancients. Why our ancestors lapsed into barbarism when their masters were extinct.
Dear
why
God. That...
Abbot Paolo, I was just explaining...
I heard. God have mercy on this house. Spare us, Lord, we knew not what we did.
I should have known not to...
So we are but creatures of creatures, then, Sir Philosopher. Made by lesser gods than God, and therefore understandably less than perfect, through no fault of ours, of course.
It is only conjecture, but it would account for much.
And absolve of much, would it not? Man's rebellion against his makers was no doubt merely justifiable tyrannicide against the infinitely wicked sons of Adam.
I did not say that...
Show me, Sir Philosopher, this amazing reference.
Here it is.
You found this over in the unclassified section, I believe?
Yes, but it...
And if you'd bother to look up the cross-reference in the unclassified card index, you would have seen that it came from a play about robots by an author named Chapek, about the creation of artificial people as slaves and their eventual revolt against their makers. A play. And more to the point, Taddeo. If you were devoted to the idea of open-minded scientific inquiry, You would consider all available sources, including the one and only source that survived complete. You might choose to disagree with our evaluation of it, but it is a primary source. There's no question of that. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them.
My remarks were only conjecture. Now, freedom to speculate is necessary to the
adventure. And the Lord God took man and put him into the paradise of pleasure to dress it and to keep it. And God commanded
to speculate
him.
Is necessary to the advancement of science. Now, if you would have us hampered by blind adherence, unreasoned dogma, then you would prefer to leave the world.
And God commanded him, saying, "Of every tree of paradise thou shalt eat, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil thou shalt not."
Then you'd prefer to leave the world in the same black ignorance and superstition that you say your order has struggled against.
Thou shalt not eat. For in what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die.
But then we could never overcome famine, disease, or misbirth, or make the world one bit better than it has been for 12 centuries.
And the serpent said, "God doth know that in what day soever thou shalt eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil."
But the world will be no better than it's been for 12 centuries if every direction of speculation is to be closed off and every new thought denounced.
Tadeo, it never was any better. It never will be any better. It will only be richer or poorer, sadder, but not wiser until the very last day.
You see, I knew it. I knew you would be offended, but you told me. Oh, what's the use? You have your own creation account.
The account I was quoting, Sir Philosopher, was not an account of the manner of creation, but an account of the manner of temptation that led to the fall.
Yes, but the freedom to speculate is essential.
No one has tried to deprive you of that, nor is anyone offended. But to abuse the intellect for reasons of pride, vanity, or escape from responsibility is the fruit of that same tree.
You question the honor of my motives?
At times I question my own. I accuse you of nothing. But ask yourself this. Why do you take delight in leaping to such a wild conjecture from so fragile a springboard? Why do you wish to discredit the past, even to dehumanizing the last civilization?
Oh, damn it. All these records should be placed in the hands of competent people!
That brought the dynamo to a stop. The brothers operating it were too shocked to continue.
What is it? What's happened to the light?
I think they just gave up on it. Bring candles. And you, brother, up there on top of the ladder, come down and bring that lamp with you. Now, Sir Philosopher, if you can make it out by candlelight, read this.
From Hannigan?
A proclamation. Read it and rejoice in your cherished freedom. And whosoever reads in this alcove henceforth, let him read Ad Lumina Christi. So, Don Tadeo, you read it?
Yes.
If by some unlikely chance you'd like political asylum
no,
here...
No, thank you.
Then may I ask you to clarify your remark about placing our records in competent hands?
It was said in the heat of the moment. I retract it.
But you haven't stopped meaning it. You've meant it all along. So, will you be leaving today or tomorrow?
Today, I think, would be better.
When you get back, deliver a message.
Of course.
Say that anyone who wishes to study here will be welcome, in spite of the poor lighting. Don Mayo especially, or Don Nestachon, with his 6 ingredients. Tell them, too, that when the time comes, as it will, that not only priests, but scientists are in need of sanctuary. Tell them our walls are thick out here.
Paolo turned and trudged up the stairs to be alone in his study, for the knot was tightening his guts again.
Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace.
He wanted Father Gault to hear his confession. Better, though, to wait till the guests had gone.
Can you come back later?
I'm afraid I won't be here later.
Oh, Don Tadeo. Come in.
I thought it only proper to leave you these.
What do we have here?
Sketches of your fortifications. The ones the officers made. I suggest you burn them immediately.
Why have you done this after our words downstairs?
Oh, don't misunderstand. I would have returned them in any event. If I had returned the sketches any sooner, the officers would have had plenty of time and opportunity to draw up another set.
Don Tadeo,
I promise no effort on your behalf.
I know.
Because I think what you have here should be open to the world.
It is. It was. It always will be.
They shook hands. Tadeo left. No truce. Only mutual respect between foes. Perhaps it would never be more.
But why must it all be acted again?
The answer was near at hand. There was still the serpent whispering, "For God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods."
The old father of lies. Clever at telling half-truths. How shall you know good and evil until you have sampled a little?
Taste and be as gods.
But infinite power couldn't bestow godhood on men, nor could infinite wisdom. For that, there'd have to be infinite love as well.
Paolo summoned Gault. It was very nearly time to go.
From the place of ground zero, O Lord, deliver us.
That was the year of the unprecedented torrent of rain on the desert, causing seed long dry to burst into bloom.
From the curse of the fall.
That was the year that a vestige of civilization came to the nomads of the plains, and even the people of Laredo began to murmur that it was possibly all for the best. New Rome did not agree.
From the beginning of monsters.
It was the year that the old Jew returned to his former vocation of physician and wanderer. The year that the monks of the Order of Leibowitz buried an abbot and bowed to a new one.
From the reign of the cobalt.
It was the year a king came riding out of the east to subdue the land and own it. It was a year of man, a year of carnage, the first of many hundreds.
A morte perpetua, libera nos domine.
Then, after the generations of the darkness, came the generations of the light. And they called it the year of our Lord 3781, a year of his peace.